Growing sweeter every day, the love of God grows sweeter every day. And indeed it does. I started serving God years ago, and today it's sweeter than ever. Not because he's any sweeter than he was years ago, but because I've learned more about him, and I've learned how much sweeter he is. You know, there's one thing that we really need to remember through life as we go, that there is nothing that God can do, not anything that he can do, that will make him any greater than what he was before the world was ever created. There's not one thing that God can do to add to his greatness or his magnificence. The only thing that God can do in his creative act or in revealing himself is that he can reveal to us his greatness by allowing us to discover different things as we go on through life and different means and measures of God as we comprehend God, so then God grows greater to us. That is, God is magnified more to us because we see God in a greater measure and realize how wonderful God really is. But as to God getting greater, he never can get any greater than what he already is. And no matter what he does, it will not make him any greater because he is the greatest of the greatest. And his greatness is so immeasurable that we don't have any way to comprehend the great wonderfulness of our Savior. So then we thank God tonight because we do know that he is great and that he is with us. And that we love him and that he loves us. So then we come to the church to come together that we might learn about God. See, coming to church, we come to church to praise the Lord. We come to church to sing. We come to church to do all these wonderful things toward God and to let him know that we love him. For God is a spirit and God inhabits the praise of his people. Therefore, we come to praise God. But our main theme of life is that we come to church that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature, to the full reward of this great wonderfulness of God by comprehending the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this immeasurable love that God has given. God's love that passeth understanding. You cannot understand God's love or figure God's love out from the human way of life. Academics are not sufficient to comprehend God. All the studies of life are not sufficient. All the diplomacies of life are not sufficient. No matter how great we might grow, we could never comprehend God's love unless we do it through the mind of Christ. Christ's mind is the only thing that has ever comprehended God in his fullness and become one with God. Therefore, God has dealt unto us through Christ the measure of himself as to whatever measure we will allow to live within us and whatever we hunger and thirst after. Though he's commanded us to go unto the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, yet it's up to us as a sovereignty to decide as to what measure we want and how much time we'd like to devote to this or what part of our life we would like to surrender to God to take on this immeasurable love as to comprehending God and his greatness. So then we're trying our very best to move on with the Lord and trying to understand this immeasurable love. Love, what is the power of love? What is meant when we say love? First of all, I want to repeat this, as I've done in the past, that the way that you get love, that love is shed abroad in your heart by the great, wonderful Holy Spirit. That you cannot get love any other way. Somebody would say, well, I love Brother Pike. I love my brother. I love my sister. I love my fellow man. I love my family. Well, that's good. That kind of love, that's fine. You know, the kind of love that you got, the filial love, that's fine. You know, if you have that kind of love, but I'm speaking of an agape love that comes from God. This kind of love that I'm speaking of is not that kind of love. You know, you love your wife and you want to kill somebody else if they want to love her. So you don't, them messing with her. So likewise, she feels the same way about you. But God so loved that he gives. He loved so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so then God's great love is a love, a sacrificial, charitable love that God so loved that he gave. He gave everything. He's given all of the things that he created. He's given them to mankind. He's given his very blood out of his vein to mankind. He gave his body at Calvary in the behalf of mankind. So then God so loved that he gave. And this love you cannot obtain unto in this world. It is something that has to come from God. And this is shed abroad in your heart from God, or by the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, which is God, or is called the wonderful Spirit of Truth. And so then love is shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of Truth. When this love comes into your heart, then, as I've said in the past, your faith is really kindled into a blaze and you begin to believe. Because faith works by love. Not by your love, but by the agape love of Christ. Out of the mind of Christ comes this wonderful faith of Christ. And this faith of Christ, which is called the righteousness of God, it is the power of sanctification that sanctifies you to the extent that the great loving Holy Spirit comes into your heart to take up its abode with you. And so then, this love that I'm speaking of works your faith. And this faith is what brings about every desire of mankind in this natural world and in the world to come. For godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. So then we see that we have to have everything in succession, everything coordinated, everything in a sequence. If we are planning to have the blessings of God, we must first have the Spirit of Truth. If you do not have the Spirit of Truth, you've never been born again. For the Bible teaches that he is the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said that I came to bear witness of the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? And there wasn't a personification standing before Pilate. And Pilate did not recognize that truth was in his midst. So then he came to bear witness to the truth. And if you don't have the Spirit of Truth, you don't have God. And the Bible said, if you have not God's Spirit, then you're none of his. So then you have to be born again. And to be born again, you have to have God's Spirit of Truth. And if you don't have his Spirit of Truth, then that means you're not born again. Somebody would say, then, what does that mean, Brother Pike? That means that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not a born again Christian. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe. And if I believe, I know I'm a Christian. No, you might believe, but if you believe, so does the devil believe and trembles every time he thinks about there being a God. So believing isn't enough. You've got to be a Christian. And to be a Christian, you've got to have the faith of Jesus Christ. And to have the faith of Jesus Christ, by which you're sanctified, you're also perfected forever. And by this wonderful faith of Christ, you're sanctified to the extent that God comes into your heart as the Spirit of Truth, and that is the new birth. So then, being a believer is not just sufficient unless you are a true believer in the faith of Jesus Christ, and then the Spirit of God will come into your heart and take up its abode, and then you are a born-again Christian. Somebody would say, well, then, Brother Pike, you're telling me that the only way that I can have Christianity is to speak in tongues. No, I'm not telling you that you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. I do not believe that. I do not teach that. I believe that tongues come from the Holy Ghost and that the Holy Ghost does not come from tongues. And then besides that, we've said this a number of times to kind of clarify that. The Bible said if a man prophesied, greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. If then the Holy Ghost consists of tongues, how could somebody prophesy be greater than the Holy Ghost? Or greater than the man that's speaking in tongues, since that man is filled with the Holy Ghost? So then it's not based on tongues, nor is it based on prophecy Those things are gifts, and the Bible outlines the gifts as saying the gifts of miracles, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, whatever it might be. It is called the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues. All these kind of things are gifts. But when it speaks of the Holy Ghost, though it speaks of it as being a gift, it is altogether different. There's one Spirit, many operations. And this wonderful Spirit of God, it is the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to speak in tongue to have the Holy Ghost. But when you have the Holy Ghost, the beautiful thing about it is you can speak in tongues. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you can prophesy. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you can work miracles. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you can preach. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Let's give the Lord a hand. So it's wonderful to have the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Not only that, but you have eternal life. The Bible said, neglect not the gift that is within thee, that was given thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, which of course was the aged ones of that day, speaking to Timothy and the others. We know that we do have the power to lay hands on people that they might receive the wonderful healings of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said, and they lay their hands upon them and they shall recover. So then we see this wonderful love of God that God has given to us, this love that is beyond understanding. I cannot understand it with my natural mind. I cannot explain it with my natural mind, but I can comprehend it with the mind of Christ, and I can explain it with the mind of Christ, and I can tell you what love is in the mind of Christ. So tonight we come together in the love of God that we might know these things and that we might hunger and thirst. You know, one of the things that we need to do is hunger and thirst after the things of God. Like somebody said a few days ago that they had a night vision or a dream of my people and they were playing in swings. Said they were just sitting around in swings and swinging themselves and just playing in swing like children. And I was really upset over it. I think I mentioned this last week when I was here. But that's not what we want to do. We don't want to just be in and out. We don't want to swing with the world and just move with the world and not have any hunger and thirst for God, do we? We want to hunger and thirst for God. When you come here at night, are you hungering for God? Through the day, are you hungering for God? Someone would say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike, hungering for God? Hungering for the Word. How many of you know that God is the Word? In the beginning was God the Word, and He's still the Word. And when you hunger and thirst for the Word, then that means you hunger and thirst for God. And if you don't have any hunger for the Word and the knowledge of God, you don't have any hunger for God. So then to hunger and to thirst for God, and the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts, he shall be filled. The songwriter said, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup till I thirst no more. Fill my cup till I want no more, Lord. So then we sing that little chorus, fill my cup. I want God to fill my cup. Every day of my life, I hunger and I thirst. One thing about David of old, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? Because David said, my heart panteth after God as the heart, like the deer, of the heart does the water brook. You know, a heart running like a deer, he gets so thirsty on a hot day and his heart just panteth just to get to the water brook. And David said, my heart panteth like the heart that runs across the field like that after the water brook. So God said, now you're a man after my own heart. Jesus, his heart panteth after God. He just wanted God so much. Every way he turned, he wanted God. He wanted the Spirit of God. He wanted the knowledge of God. He wanted the way of God. He wanted the will of God. Everything that he did, he acknowledged God in it. He hungered and thirsted after God. Day and night, he hungered and thirsted. The Bible said, meditate in the laws of God day and night. Just every morning, every night, all through the day, meditating the laws of God, always asking God to help you and to strengthen you in the wonderful knowledge of God and saying, Lord, give me that revelation. God, give me that operation. God, give me those wonderful things that you've got for me. And the Bible said, covet a gift. Covet a gift. You know, if it's prophecy, covet a gift. If it's speaking in tongues, covet a gift. But pray that you might interpret if you're going to speak in tongues. And then if it be healing, then pray. Covet a gift. And what if it might be of the gifts? Healing, miracles. If that's what you want, if that's what you desire, covet that gift. Go after that gift. Pray for that gift. Ask God to give it to you. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, is that what you did? Well, not exactly. I did it a little bit different. I read where it pleased God because of having an understanding heart. So I went after charity. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way as concerning the gifts or whatever. You can covet a gift, but he said, I show you a more excelling way, and that way is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So I went after charity, and I prayed for an understanding heart. And I said, God, give me an understanding heart so that I can understand the ways of God and the things of God. And when I instruct my fellow man, I can tell them the right way and be sure that I don't mislead them and be sure that I don't misunderstand on my way of trying to find this wonderful thing called heaven. So then I asked God for an understanding heart. And this is the thing that God has blessed us with, to where we can understand his word. Somebody would say, well, what is the value of that? Well, the value of that is that it excels all of humanity. For the Bible teaches those of the world cannot understand. For the wicked shall not understand. It doesn't matter if they are Einsteins, whatever they are, it said they shall not understand. For they're blinded by the ignorance of that darkness that's within them. Even the old intellectual thing of the tree of knowledge that they're born with, they're blinded by Satan's spirit of interference, which is the powers of darkness and the shadows of evil. And they shall never see light or come to understanding. So then the world doesn't know. It doesn't matter about their diplomas, they still don't understand. So that we have an understanding heart and they don't understand. And the Bible speaks of those 3 million people, supposedly 3 million, that came out of Egypt on their way to Canaan. And the Bible said in all of them was of a good understanding. For the Bible said concerning the child of God, and the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. And when Jesus came along talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he amazed them and they were astounded, saying, how does he know letters never having learned? And when the ignorant fishermen of Peter's day began to expound the gospel, the Bible said they took note that they had been with Christ Jesus. So then we know that this thing is not a way of learning in the world, for this understanding is higher above the knowledge of mankind than the heavens is the earth. Therefore, it is a different dimension. Man's mind never enters into this dimension. And the Bible teaches that no one has ever seen this. Not even a wayfaring fool that stumbles into everything. He never stumbles across this path. God has hid this from the eyes of the wise and prudent and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. And when he says babes, he's not talking of little children, though he does reveal this to little children in the sense that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings he's perfected praise. But what he's speaking of is that we are babes to the world because we are the unlearned and they're the great and mighty. And we're but just like little children to the great scientists of this day. But God has revealed this unto us which are considered babes in the world, while he hath hid it from the eyes of the great scientists and those that are proging after those things of knowledge in the world. How beautiful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to have the love of God. And how wonderful it is to have an understanding heart that you might look beyond the veil and see those wonderful spiritual things. Like tonight, we're here tonight, we're talking. All I'm doing is exhorting a little bit like I did this morning. But still, if you were hungry, if you were thirsty, then what we would do, we would just go right, we would step right off into the deep. Jesus said, go out into the deep, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a drop. Sin, we could step right out into the deep. And where you are catching nothing,
all of a sudden you would get a great catch. When the disciples came to land, they had caught nothing. Though they had toiled all the night, they had caught nothing and had folded up the nets and was quit. They had quit. They were quitting. They weren't going to stop. They were tired. But Jesus said, just cast your net on the right side. And though they were tired and they would not have unrolled those nets because it's a lot of hard work, but because the master had said it, they unrolled the nets and they throwed them on the other side right near the shore. And they got so many fish that the nets began to break. And they got so many fish in the boats were ready to sink. And they knew that they had been with the master. Let's give him a hand. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And if you haven't caught anything, there's the way to catch something. But the thing is, folks, we're going to have to do it his way. Isn't that right? When we start hungering and thirsting, all of a sudden, we just launch out into the deep or we step over on the other side and God begins to move the veil back and the great spiritual mysteries of God begin to come to our heart and mind and begin to unfold and we look and we just sit in awe and we say, oh my God, isn't that beautiful? God, look at that. I've never seen that before. Never in a textbook have I read that. Never have I ever heard that from Einstein. Never have I ever heard that God, that straight from heaven. You gave that right straight to me. That's a revelation. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So then tonight we come together to hunger and to thirst. Are we hungry? Are we thirst? Are we thirsting? Well, perhaps not. Because we've been to the cafe and we've eaten real good and we're filled up. And it's sad to say that if we're not careful, we'll be like the prodigal who fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't mess around the hog pens. But how many of you know that the hogs and swine was a symbol, or they are a symbol, of the people of the world that are not born again Christians? Is that right? And how many know that a lot of religious people are constantly fellowshipping those kind of people and are more interested in their programs of television and movies and books and ball games and stories and conversations and purchases in the world and businesses than they are God? Is that right? All right. So then you wouldn't be like that, would you? All right. So then we all know where we're at. We know where we're going. We know where we come from. Isn't that right? So when we come to the house of God, we enter in with the gates with thanksgiving and praise. But we enter in to thirst and we say, my God, Lord, we only got about 45 minutes of the preacher's time coming or whatever time you will give us. And if it really is you speaking, then I'd like to be here and hear what you got to say. And if it isn't you speaking, Lord, I'm sorry that I came. Help me to never come back here anymore. But if it really is you speaking, then I come to hear you speak and I'd love to know what you've got to tell us tonight. Because it might be the very thing that's going to save my life tomorrow. It might be the very thing that's going to save my soul tomorrow. Or I may slip tomorrow and go off into the deep pits of darkness and lose my soul overnight and never be able to get back unless I hear these things. I may be like a vehicle going down the road. I may give out of fuel and I might be stranded by the road because I didn't fill up when I had a chance. I didn't hunger and thirst, and I might give out of strength along the way in the battle. So then we know that when we come to the house of God, we come, the Bible says, more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools is our own opinion, our own thoughts, our own desire to sit there in the congregation and go through our mind preambling while the voice of God is supposedly coming forth. So then we know that when this happens, then we are giving the sacrifice of fools. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if the minister is not him speaking, but God speaking, then it must be the right thing. It must be that we're going to get faith. And if that isn't right, then you don't need to listen at it. You don't need to be there. If that is right, then ye are fools for not listening. Isn't that right? Who is the fool but he that will not take the word of God? For the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. So then tonight, when we come here more ready to hear than to give our opinion or discrepancies of thought as to the sacrifice of food. One thing that we do know, that in our natural mind, when we are in a natural state of obsession with the mind, we are in problems. For when we come in that kind of condition, we automatically know that that mind is contrary to God. The Bible said the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. And they that are in the carnal mind abide within death and cannot please God. So then, they that are spiritually minded, the Bible said this is life and this is peace. To be spiritually minded, I would that you were spiritual. So then, when we come to church, are we spiritual? The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard a voice behind him, and he turned and he saw Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks. So then, here we are today. Did we come to church tonight to get into the Spirit? Are we in the Spirit tonight? Are we actually in the Spirit tonight, or are we just actually in this building tonight? See, are we actually in the Spirit as we walk day by day? Are we just in our natural frame of mind as to the exuberance of life and our regular pace of life as to our own lifestyle? Is that what we're doing, or are we in the Spirit? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do I have to be in the Spirit all the time? Well, the Bible said day and night to meditate in His laws, and the Bible said to walk in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. So then, just having the Spirit, He said, walk in the Spirit. And if every day of your life you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're missing out on the things of God. Isn't that right? So then, we should meditate in the laws day and night. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I do. I walk in the Spirit. I talk in the Spirit. I believe in the Spirit. The only thing is, I just have to take time out to see this television show, and I have to take a little time out for leisure because there's certain things that I want to talk about and there's certain things that I want to do. But how is it that the Bible says to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God? How is it that we're supposed to do that? If we do that, how is it that we have time to do anything else? I've said this so often, if I'm to love Him with all of my strength, then how can I give any of my strength to anything else? If I'm to love Him with all of my heart, how can I give any of my heart to anything else? If I'm to love Him with all of my mind, how can I give my thoughts of mind to anything else? I must meditate in His laws day and night, isn't that right? To bring every thought into subjection to the knowledge of God. So we see our calling, isn't that right? We see that we're different from the world, and we cannot fellowship the world nor follow their lifestyle. We are a different people. Now, that's where our hang-up is. Are we a different people? The question arises, are we? What have you been doing today? What have I been doing today? Have you been a different person today from the world? Have I been a different person from the world today? Have you been going away from the world today? Or have you been right along with the world today? Someone would say, well, how do you say, Brother Pike, as to being along with the world? What do you mean by that? I mean that if you were in your natural mind that you're born with, in your carnal mind, you was right with the world today. Come on, folks. You was right with the world today. If you was walking in your natural mind, you was in the world today. And the Bible said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So then, if you are not in the mind of Christ, then where are you? Where are you? You know, this is the thing that got Adam in trouble. He got out of the presence of God. And when God came, He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Adam had gotten lost. And he said, where art thou, Adam? And he said, I hid myself. I hid myself. Why did you do that, Adam? Because we are naked. But who told thee that thou wast naked? So then, when he hid himself, because he was naked. And this is what Jesus said. Ye are naked. Ye are wretched and naked and blind. And you don't realize it. And you don't know it. And all the world is naked and wretched and blind. Because any time that you're not born again, any time that you don't have on the garment of God, any time you've not been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, ye are naked. And any time you are like that, though you be religious, ever so religious like Paul was still blind. Even among the Jews, of the most devout, he was still blind. And he realized the only thing he could do was go down to the street called Straight and get the scales off of his eyes, and then he could see and know the right way to go. Isn't that right? Go down to the street called Straight. Have I been to the street called Straight? Have you been to the street called Straight? Or are we walking a straight line with God? The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, lest the lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. So then we can really tell whether we've been down to the street called Straight or not, can't we? God makes it real plain so that we don't have any problem of telling whether we've been to the street called Straight. Have we been baptized into Christ? Have we put on Christ? The man said, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins by calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Have we been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Have we washed away our sin? Have we called on the name of Jesus Christ? Have we washed away our sins? By the washing of the water of the word, are we clean today? So then, speaking of this wonderful love of God that was manifested at Calvary, what have we done with it? Folks, do we have the love of God? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I have the love of God. What is the love of God? The love of God is to forsake the world. For the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of God is not in you. So then, if you still are walking with the world and walking in your natural mind, if you still are interested in the natural side of life and the natural things of life, then you don't have the love of God. And if you don't have the love of God, then you're none of His. So then, do you have the love of God? If you have the love of the world, you don't have the love of God. If you have the love of natural things and your mind is on natural things, then you don't have the mind of God, the love of God, or you don't have eternal life. For to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded is death. The day of the cheat of that tree, ye shall surely die. So then we ask the question, do you have the love of God? Do I have the love of God? So then, what is the love of God? To forsake the world, to turn away from the world, to want to go out to do the will of God, to want to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise and shall shine as the brightness of the noonday when the Lord comes back. So then, what is the love of God? It's to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And what is the love of God? To keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Stay out of the world. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean by that? Stay out of the carnal mind of ball games and movies. You know, sometimes we have to enumerate a few little things to bring it down to where you can understand what we're saying. Stay out of the ball games and stay out of the frolics of the world and stay out of the partying and stay away from evil communications. And don't get with the general run of relatives and friends and laugh and joke and frolic. Stay away from them and be sober-minded and keep in the real path of God. All of the paths of God are peace. Stay with Christ. Stay in the Word. Stay in the mind of the Word. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Just a little exhortation. Somebody said, but this isn't very deep, Brother Pike. Well, I don't know. A lot of folks have got drowned already. Let's give the Lord a hand. Some don't even know how to swim. So then we realize that Christ is trying to reach us. Reach us how? With the love of God. The love of God that passeth all of your understanding. Somebody would say, well, now I understand all of this. How could you when it passes your understanding? The only way you can understand this love is that it be revealed to you. Isn't that right? So then we're walking with Christ and we're asking God for the wonderful love of God. We're asking Him for this love. Why do I want this love? Because the Bible said love is as strong as death. Love is the charity that behaveth not itself unseemingly. And love is that which seeketh not its own. Love is not puffed up. Love thinketh no evil. Love at all times behaveth itself according to the mind of Christ and according to the rules of God's way of life. So then, this wonderful love, it brings a brotherly kindness, and it brings long-suffering, and it brings gentleness, and it brings patience, and it brings meekness, and it brings godliness, and it brings the wonderful understanding of God's wonderful word, this wonderful love of God. Without this love, He said, you're like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Have gifts, that's fine, He said, but the gifts are going to cease. But charity never faileth. But without this wonderful love, with all of your gifts, you profit nothing. Though I have the power to move mountains, though I understand all mysteries, if I have not the love of God as to charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind and vaunteth not itself. Seeketh not its own, but that of another. Looking on another, esteeming others better than itself, seeking the welfare of another. As Jesus gave the example, washing the brethren's feet to show the example. Is that charity? Real humility that goes before honor. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before fall. But charity edifies, knowledge puffeth up. And charity goeth before honor. Let's give the Lord another hand. All right, let's stand together. Just a little exhortation tonight. Didn't feel to do nothing but just exhort you a little bit. The little milk of the word. It goes on tape. And though I'd like to speak to you in the deep mysteries of God, yet God allows a little milk because these things go on the radio in different states roundabout and in tracks across the world. And because of that, many babes get the milk of the word. The Bible said, if you love me, Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. That is, I'm going away, Peter. I'm going away. Do you love me? I love you, Lord. He said again, do you love me, Peter? And He said again, do you love me, Peter? And Peter was grieved. He said, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, Lord. He said, if you do, feed my lambs. Don't be fishing, that is. Don't go fishing. Don't lead my disciples out there to fish. You know, I called you away from that. I told you, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I told you that when you laid down your nets, Peter. I don't want you going back out there messing with that. That was his livelihood. I'll take care of you. You just follow me and I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. But Lord, I've got a family. I got to take care of them. That's all right. You just follow me. Just follow me. I take care of the sparrows. I take care of the lilies. You follow me. I'll take care of you. I'm able to do that. Fully persuaded as Abraham was. So then, do you love me? I'm going away. You know, the sheep, they're bigger. Maybe they can take care of themselves pretty well. But the little lambs have some help. If you love me, feed my babies. Take care of them while I'm gone. Isn't that right? All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. He was wounded for my transgression, and he was bruised for my iniquity. Surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes we are healed. Can you sing it with me? Jesus was wounded for your transgression, and he was bruised for your iniquities. Surely he has borne all your sorrows forever, and by his stripes you. One more time together, can we sing it? He was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised for my iniquity, and surely he has borne all my sorrows forever, and by his stripes I am he. In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in that good old-fashioned way. I tell the world, both far and near, tell them every day, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highway, and telling everywhere I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. All the world is bright since I got right. I sing, I dance and shout. Got something to shout about, and I tell the world far and near, everywhere I go, that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian. Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. Let's sing another little chorus. Let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. So let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve that living God. He has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, happy in my soul. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley. He's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning sky. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Let's lift our hands tonight and sing this little chorus together.
And I want to praise him. I want to praise him. Praise the Lamb for.
Can you sing it with me?
Let us give God glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain.
Sing it again.
So I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, for the blood that's washed away all.
I want you to lift your hands, sing it again.
And I, can you close your eyes and lift your hands up?
Can you do that?
We'll praise him. Praise.